Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
So, as we move into the message this morning, I am going to transition to, Jacob's going to do the clicking for me because I'm not very good at doing that when it comes to reading scripture in tiny print up there. So, today's Pentecost Sunday. So I'm just going to do a little mini teach on Pentecost Sunday. So Pentecost is like signifying 50 days, actually 50 days since Jesus' death and resurrection. But it wasn't initially a Christian holiday. It was actually a Jewish celebration called Pentecost or called Shavuot. So it's a Jewish holiday, and what it represented was the celebration of the establishment of God's covenant with his people. It was also like a harvest celebration, and so they were all required to go to Jerusalem. Maybe there were other areas they went to, but to Jerusalem. So that's why everybody was in Jerusalem when this happened. And the disciples were in the upper room because they were there for this anyway. They were also told to wait. So the disciples were told to wait. They didn't know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was going to happen on Pentecost or Shavuot. They were just waiting. They didn't know the day. They didn't know that it was going to be 40, 50 days after Jesus told them this, but they just faithfully waited. Now, it may have helped that they were really scared and might have locked themselves in a room, but they were faithfully waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So in Luke 24:49, it says, Jesus prepares them. I am going to send you what my father promised, but stay in the city. Stay in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. And then again in Acts 1:4-5, he tells them again. He says, wait for the gift that my father promised, which you've heard me speak about him. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this is when it happens. It happens on Shavuot. It happens on Pentecost. So I think that's pretty cool that the Jewish people are celebrating God's covenant with them, the establishment of the covenant that God has with them. And then we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the empowerment of the believers and the release or the beginning of the new covenant that God now has with us because Jesus was the final sacrifice. We didn't have to continue to do sacrifices to have relationship with God because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. And I think it's pretty neat that those happened at the same time. God does not make mistakes. These things are planned out. This is a fulfillment of a prophecy in the book of Joel. Joel's one of the minor prophets. And it says this in Joel 2, verse 28 through 30. It says, then, after doing those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. So in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit would only kind of land on like a prophet who would be the spokesperson for God, or the Spirit would fill somebody kind of temporarily, actually a craftsman at one point, to create beautiful works of art. So the Holy Spirit would kind of land or fill people that would guide and help the people, the Jewish people, in their journey and their relationship with God. But there was going to be a time, and they knew it was coming, where that Holy Spirit would be poured out on everyone, not just a couple of people. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, and in those days I will pour out my spirit, even on servants, men and women alike. So everybody. And I will cause wonders in the heaven and on the earth. And then that is a fulfillment. The Pentecost is a fulfillment of that promise. So that's where we are, Pentecost Sunday. So let's pray and invite Holy Spirit. So Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and everything that your Holy Spirit does for us and through us and how your Holy Spirit empowers us. And so this morning, we just open up our hearts to receive from you the empowering and the fulfillment of your words, that you would empower us from on high through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we invite you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So a little recap of what we have been doing. We have been called, or we have been purposed. We've been told to go and make disciples. And all, to do that, all we do is share. We share what he has done for us, what he's done through us, what he's done for the people. We share that. Those are the first two things. We can do that in our own strength, but we could do it better by being equipped with the Holy Spirit. And so let's take a look at exactly what the Holy Spirit does and how he empowers us. So I want to take a look at John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. And it says that on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Now, this is a time that is actually before the day of Pentecost. So I want to introduce kind of the basics of the Holy Spirit right now. So they're locked in a room. Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. I can imagine that they were maybe a little confused up to that point on how everything was going to play out. But here they have the Lord showing up with them. And again, he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you to go and make disciples." And with that, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So I think this is pretty cool. These are his first directions immediately after his resurrection. Three specific things. Peace be with you. So I just want to speak peace over you right now. And he says, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. So that's where to make disciples and share comes in. I'm sending you. And then the third thing is, he's preparing that, receive the Holy Spirit. So we are to receive the equipping of the Holy Spirit. And we see in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, and it says here, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him, in God, in Christ, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." So one of the things that the Holy Spirit is a seal, sealing in our salvation. As we give our lives to the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us and seals in our salvation. It goes on to say, "The Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." So the Holy Spirit seals us. Our salvation is sealed by the Holy Spirit. But that's not all. There's some other things that the Holy Spirit does. I'm going to go through some of those in a minute. So we're going to just quickly look at what the scripture tells us the Holy Spirit does. But I just want to kind of do a little side thing here for a second. Sometimes I think Holy Spirit gets a bad rap. Partially because maybe we've experienced something unusual. It may not have been the Holy Spirit. It could have been a human being making it weird. It could be people who have seen the Holy Spirit move and then they've copied it. And it hasn't been authentic, and you have recognized that in your spirit. I would call that a discernment of spirits, which is actually one of the Holy Spirit gifts. But you've discerned maybe something's off. We're human beings. We make mistakes. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, I know, in some cases has been maybe manipulated or just some off things have happened. And if that has happened to you, I just want to right now speak to that and release some healing in your heart that maybe wasn't the Holy Spirit, that it might have been a human being doing some, you know, I don't know, on a power trip or just hearing God wrong or trying to force. We really want to see revival. So it could just come from an authentic place in that we really want to see the Spirit move. We want to see revival happen. And so things are forced. I have been prayed for and kind of pushed. And I'm like, okay, I know the Holy Spirit because I have had experience. You do not need to push me. I would say that is a human being. That was not the Holy Spirit coming and pushing you. If some of you have experienced that, I just want to speak healing to that right now. And for you to just begin to open up and allow the Holy Spirit to work in you the way he was intended to work in you. And to let that go. Really, we need to forgive that, right? To be able to move forward. My prayer is that we as a church would just allow Holy Spirit to move freely and not be afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is safe. I know people have maybe made him seem unsafe or unpredictable, but the Holy Spirit is safe. Let me show you some script. Well, I don't have the scriptures marked out. I can give them to you, but I wanted to, as for time, I just wanted to speak some of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us and through us. He's our advocate. He advocates for us. He stands in the gap between us and God. He advocates for us. He's our helper. He's our counselor. Let me tell you, I've been through some tough things, and the Holy Spirit is the best counselor. I go to counseling. I go get therapy. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will beat that any day. And so often it's in combination, but man, he has done some amazing healing in my life. He is the mighty counselor, in fact. He's our comforter. He reminds us of things. He reminds us of truth. He directs us. He helps us in our weakness. He pleads for us. So he has conversations with the Father for us, actually in perfect alignment with God's will, it says. He reveals truth. He convicts us. Now, conviction is different from shame or guilt. And when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit prays for us. So if you ever, I don't know how to pray for this. The Holy Spirit's praying for you. That's what he does. That seems pretty safe to me. The Holy Spirit, I want to propose that the Holy Spirit is safe. And he's a gentleman. He does not force things on us. He does not push us over and force us into manifesting certain gifts. Now, we're going to talk about the gifts because there are more things that the Holy Spirit does. So in addition to sealing in our salvation and then being all these things, these helper and our comforter and our counselor and praying for us, he also equips us with power. And in Acts 1, 3 through 8, which I already read part of it, if you can skip to the very last one, which is verse 8, and it says that you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that is like starting from your city and then going out. So he equips us with power. So if you have not read the book of Acts yet, or if you haven't read it for a while, I want to encourage you to jump into the book of Acts. It's in the New Testament. It's the Acts of the Apostles. And it is one of the most exciting books to read. There are crazy things going on. There's sorcerers, and then there's a guy, Philip, who gets like moved from one city to another after he's led somebody to the Lord and baptized him. And all of a sudden, God just picks him up and puts him in. He finds himself in another city. Like there is just countless time after time after time evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that something happens every time the believers are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so as the disciples are going on their journey, they're going to visit the different believers, they check in. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because they just received it in the upper room, and then they're told to go out and share what they have received with others. So that baptism of the Holy Spirit in the upper room was not just for them, that was for all believers. And throughout the book of Acts, you will see account after account after account of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then something happening. So we're gonna, in a minute, we're gonna take a look at the different gifts of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, what we see most commonly, we see a lot of the believers all speaking in an unknown tongue or an unknown language. We see a lot of boldness, preaching, praising God, and prophecy. Those are the main things that we see. In one of the accounts, it doesn't tell us what happened, but all of the believers received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, something happened because there was a sorcerer there, and he wanted to buy that power. But it doesn't tell us exactly what it was. So we know that something happens in us when we are filled, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I just want you to be expectant. And it happens in different ways. For me, it happened like the day after I prayed for baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was a new believer. I was 19 years old. I was reading the book of Acts. I had not been to a church that talked about this baptism of the Holy Spirit, so I had no clue what this was. I did not know that some churches believe that it was only for those disciples in that upper room. Some churches believe that it's not for us now. I had no idea. I am just reading the Bible, and I see that in the Word it says there's this baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, well, I haven't experienced that. I want that. And so I got on my knees and I just prayed, God, I want this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I opened my mouth and nothing came out. Okay, so it actually happened the next day. And I did speak in tongues. There was nothing super feely about it, but it was something that just came to me, and I guess I'd used my vocal cords and I just allowed God to work through me. Since then, I have operated in many of the other gifts. I have a friend of mine that received baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues in a dream. Like, I know of people that have prayed for baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't experience anything in that moment that's super profound. But then later that night, this is actually my lead pastor from my old church. Later that night, he's laying in bed and just has the joy of the Lord and just starts laughing and cannot stop laughing. So that this power of the Holy Spirit is expressed in different ways. So let's see what those gifts are. So in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, this is what it says. Oh, first of all, I'm going to read the Holy Spirit gifts to the church. There are other gifts. There are other spiritual gifts. There are God's gift to mankind. And there's also a list of gifts that Christ gives the church to teach us. Teacher, preacher, evangelist, prophet, the office of prophet, which is different from what we're going to read here. So 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, Holy Spirit gifts to the Christians. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, or another word for that is discernment between of spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, the interpretation of tongues. So we've got words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discernment of spirits, faith, healing, and miracles, and prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. So I like to group these into kind of three little groups. The first group I call the revelation gifts. So you've got the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Now, I would venture to say that if you have prayed for baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you have probably operated in all three of these gifts, and probably you may not have known it. In fact, when I hear you operating in this gift, I will try and identify it, and I'll say, that was a word of wisdom. That was a word of knowledge. So those gifts give you the power to know something that you wouldn't normally know. So, for example, I'm having a conversation with someone and they're sharing about kind of maybe the challenges in their life, and I might get a little inkling. This person needs to forgive their dad. They have not forgiven their father. And then I find out in the conversation that, sure enough, they hold a lot of bitterness towards their father. So that would be a word of knowledge. If somebody comes to me and they're, there's even speaking a word of wisdom, might even be through prayer, but if somebody comes to me and says, you know, they've got a problem, and all of a sudden you come up with like a solution or an idea, it's not you. Sometimes you're like, oh, that was my intuition. No, it was probably the Holy Spirit. So I would guess that a lot of you have operated in these gifts. Then we've got the power gifts. This is gives you the power to do something beyond our natural human ability, like the rising up like of a great faith. I don't know if you've had this. I've had this. I wish I could have it all the time, but I guess I could if I reached out to the Lord for that. But that gift of faith, that all of a sudden you have faith that is like ridiculous faith that you never have had before for something or someone, I would say that is a Holy Spirit gift that you have been given in that moment, to have extraordinary, ridiculous faith for something or someone. That's what that faith one looks like. And then healing and miracles, like, wouldn't that be cool? I think that sometimes God has given us a nudge to say, go pray for so-and-so, go speak to this, and he's ready to do a miracle or to heal, and we've been afraid. What are we afraid of? Oh, but maybe I'll pray and nothing happens. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe, and we get all in our head, and so we don't want to go do that. God is a big enough God that if we go and pray and nothing happens, he can handle that. And maybe he's healing them in a way we don't know. Sometimes there's instant miraculous healing, and then sometimes there's healing that happens like the next day, that night, the next morning they wake up and everything's fine. So we have to trust God with the results. But let's be a people that decide to act on that nudging of the Holy Spirit and stepping out in faith. And then the last little group is the inspiration gifts, which gives you the power to speak something beyond our natural human ability or our knowing. So that would be prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And for lack of time, I will not go through all kind of what these are, but I think that would be a good like Sunday morning sermon just on these things. There is a link on our website to these gifts, and you can kind of read what each of them are. There's a really good description there. So we choose to use these or not. We've been given them, and I have been convicted of my lack of stepping into these things. I just wanna kind of show you what it's like. So Max, I'm gonna have you pass this to me. Yeah, I know there's something in there. So I liken it to this, that we have been given the opportunity to receive a gift of the Holy Spirit. So we can receive it. I've received it. Thank you. I've got this gift, but then I can go, I'm not sure about all the things in there. I've heard some crazy stuff might be in here. I don't think I'm going to open it. So I've received it, but I am not opening this thing because blah, blah, blah. This happened, that happened. I believe this. I don't believe this. I'm not sure. Get all in our head, right? We need to receive the gift and we need to open it up. And yes, there is something in here. It is my tool belt. So I call these my tool belt gifts. Partially, like I've heard people call them the tool box, like your toolbox gifts. But I like tool belt because I tend to leave the toolbox like in the car or in the garage. And this is something I can wear and have handy all the time. And then I can just, look at that one's just hanging on there. These are the keys to the kingdom. No. And then each one of these for me just represents one of the gifts. Now, I left one in here because I'm not sure about this one. But you know what? I'm going to stick that in my tool belt. And I am going to determine to ask Holy Spirit to move through me. When we talk about a move of God, it is God just doesn't move without us. He uses us and he moves through us with power. And he's given us these gifts. So use the gifts. When you know what to pray, you ask Holy Spirit to help you, give you a word of wisdom, a discerning word, help you discern what is going on in the spiritual realm. That's the discernment of spirits. So can you imagine if we gather together and we all are prepared with our tool belts, gifts, our Holy Spirit gifts, and we are ready to be nudged by the Holy Spirit to say, go pray for so-and-so. Give an encouraging prophetic word to that person you don't know over there. Take a step of faith and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with faith to begin to walk out these gifts. And ask, if you have not asked for baptism of the Holy Spirit, now's the time to ask. And in fact, just so you know, because I know some people will, I'm not worthy, I didn't get it, or I'm not sure I got it. In Luke 11, verse 11, he tells us to ask. And it comes after the story about the persistent guy that keeps asking and keeps knocking on the door, and he says, you keep asking. And in fact, it's titled, The Father Gives Good Gifts, in my Bible. It's actually talking specifically about the Holy Spirit. It closes with, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give? Doesn't say good gifts to his children. It says give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So if you have asked, he will give it to you. Just like salvation. When we commit our lives to the Lord and we ask him to come into our hearts, that happens. He does not refuse us. So I want to speak that over you. Matt, I'm going to have you come up as I just prepare, as we prepare to close. We're going to close with a little bit of a song. But what does this require of us? It requires a willingness to follow and be disciple makers. It requires us to be brave and share our story. It requires us to partner with the Father and allow him to equip us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we need to receive that. I know that we're all in completely different places this morning. I'm going to try and address just a couple of places that we might be sitting. You might be feeling a little dry or empty right now in your walk with the Lord. And this is an opportunity for a restart, for a reviving, to be revived, to be filled, to be refreshed. This will be a response time for you just to do that. Maybe you're just realized that you're lacking something. You've been doing it in your own strength, and you have not asked for this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never heard of it before, and you're like, I want this. I want to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to baptize you in His power. Maybe you have refused or kind of put this baptism of the Holy Spirit off to the side because of a bad experience. And I want to plead with you to extend forgiveness to that situation and allow the Holy Spirit to show up in you the way He was intended to show up in you and through you, and allow Him to work through you. So I'm gonna invite you all just to stand, to get ready, just to respond. I'm not gonna ask for raised hands or to come up to the front or anything. I'm gonna let you do all this process from where you are. I'm gonna pray, and then we are going to just respond. You can either allow Matt to sing over you, or you can sing along with him, and then I will close in prayer. So I'll just open with this. Father, lead us and equip us with the power of your Holy Spirit. We surrender to you and to your empowerment through the Holy Spirit. We want to receive a fresh outpouring and an anointing of your Spirit. We're expectant this morning. So we ask that you revive us, and that you fill us, and that you empower us.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go.